Check podcasts.
The Center for Ocean Applied Sustainable Technologies, or COAST, welcomes you to COAST Talks, showcasing the people, ideas, businesses, and communities driving innovation in Pacific Canada's sustainable blue economy. Brought to you by the South Island Prosperity Partnership.
Welcome to the COAST Talks podcast, a deep dive into the innovations driving BC's blue economy. My name is Sophie Silks, and I'm the Director of Strategic Engagement at COAST, the Center for Ocean Applied Sustainable Technologies. COAST is Pacific Canada's hub for the sustainable blue economy. We support ocean entrepreneurs in British Columbia through new venture support, access to facilities and equipment, training and workforce development, and ecosystem connection. This August, we launched the COAST Membership Program, which is the central conduit for all of COAST's offerings. Benefits are wide-ranging and include access to our network of ocean innovation hubs, joining our digital communities, event tickets, special project opportunities, and access to our new Blue Pathways learning and workforce development platform. You can learn more about COAST programs and membership at canadacoast.ca/join. On today's episode of COAST Talks, we're thrilled to welcome Rana Chavoshi, CEO and co-founder of FICO Technologies, a marine biotechnology company focused on seaweed aquaculture and manufacturing compostable plastics in partnership with Indigenous nations. Their low-energy, petroleum-free bioplastic product is a home compostable alternative to the environmentally detrimental plastics that permeate almost every corner of our lives. The world is taking note of FICO's exciting work. They were just recently featured in the Globe and Mail in a piece that highlighted the ways in which FICO is putting Canada on the map for bioplastics innovation. Days later, FICO took home the 2024 Ocean Exchange Collegiate Award in Fort Lauderdale, and then the top prize at the Lab to Market Summit in Toronto. Congratulations. COAST was also delighted to welcome Rana to represent FICO at our investor event on October 17th in the Ocean Innovation Hub here in Victoria, BC. Hello, Rana. In the midst of this wonderful winning streak, we are so delighted to welcome you to COAST Talk. So thank you so much for making time to be with us here. To kick us off, I would love to hear the story of the problem that FICO is solving and to hear about your experience of figuring out the solution to it.
Thanks, Sophie. Thanks for having me. It's great to be welcomed on this talk. So yeah, I can definitely talk about what FICO does and the problem that we're really addressing. So essentially, we're addressing plastic pollution, which is a global issue. It's, as you said, permeated in every part of our lives, and it's permeated a lot in our food systems as well. So plastic is used in the production, the packaging, the distribution of food, and farmers rely on about 12.5 million tons of plastic to feed us per year around the globe. So it's a lot. And that's just when they grow it. That's the market that we're really interested in supporting, because we realize that farmers are dealing with a lot. They're an aging population. They're feeling a bit of the existential dread because of the impacts of climate change and seeing how seasonality has changed, as well as major climate events impacting their crops and losing crops, which is very concerning for them. And of course, on top of that, they're dealing with labor shortages. They're dealing with, you know, water issues in certain areas when countries go through drought. And then lastly, of course, they're dealing with plastic. And plastic is really expensive for them to deal with in terms of the cost of labor, because a lot of farmers have to put it out before they seed their crops, and then they have to use crop covers, for example, or other types of plastics used in greenhouses or indoor farming as well. And they have to remove it after. They usually do due to different factors, some of them biosecurity, some of them just for the sheer fact that they want to let the soil till for the next year. So that costs labor and time, and then it costs money to have to get rid of the plastic appropriately. So they're facing a lot of stressors. And I think this is where an innovation like ours can really help save them time, save them the money it costs for labor, as well as the waste disposal fees.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you've settled on this niche. Maybe let's take a few steps back for some folks who might not be familiar yet with FICO. Can you tell us just what you do? And then we'll get into a little bit about how you're helping those farmers make their lives a little bit easier.
Yeah, so what we do is we develop earth digestible and non-toxic biomaterials that are derived from seaweed, which is grown in partnership with Indigenous nations. So that's what we do in a nutshell. Our products are meant for the agricultural sector. That's where our market is and where we see the greatest need. And personally, as my background is as a scientist, I'm a specialist in seaweed and toxicology. And as a toxicologist, it's really concerning to me to think about our food being so contaminated with microplastics and our soils being so contaminated with microplastics. So that's a lot of the reasoning behind which market we're working in.
Amazing. Can you tell me a little bit about how you became interested in seaweed just from the get-go? Because this is such an interesting evolution of that interest. So share a little bit.
For sure. It's not a direction I ever thought I would go, to be completely frank and honest. I kind of fell into it. I think in undergraduate, I looked at a lot of electives that I needed to take as part of my degree. And one of the course electives for science, I guess, was a class on algae and fungi. And I remember really liking that course and being really interested in it. And then I ended up enjoying working with the prof, had built a really good relationship with the prof. And that led to me doing some undergraduate research. And then I did a pretty reasonable job. So I ended up doing a master's as well, which I'm finishing up. And that's kind of how I fell into it. It was not a direction I was planning to go. I think I was interested in birds first, then insects, and I was playing around what would fit. And then I fell into the niche of seaweed.
Can you tell us more about how you created FICO, how it came to be, maybe a little bit about your co-founder? It's a very interesting story, I think.
Yeah, I think it is a very unique story, maybe not so unique considering the pandemic, but the idea for FICO kind of came up during the pandemic. I always tell the story of going to Malaysia and seeing plastic pollution in Southeast Asia and how horrible it was there. I'm sure it's hopefully gotten a little bit better with some plastic management. But especially in impoverished communities and coastal communities is where they get impacted most. And so when I came back to Canada, I remember working during the pandemic at my field site before it was shut down and starting to see plastic everywhere. I think before the pandemic, there was this really interesting momentum about zero waste and pushing forward and reducing plastic and waste in general. And then the pandemic came and we made this shift to, you know, health and safety, which we needed to, of course. So people started using masks, gloves, personal protective equipment. And I started seeing that a lot at my research sites, which was really disappointing. And it reminded me of what I saw in Malaysia. I was like, you know, this was 5 years ago. How is it that we haven't found a solution to this yet? And so I think that's where the inspiration came from, is seeing that happen in my own community, place where I grew up, and realizing that there wasn't a solution that could meet the demand for plastic and something that was actually better than what petroleum-based plastic is. So that's the origin, I guess. And then how I met my co-founder was, again, during the pandemic. We met online at an online networking event, and I had my idea and she had hers, which was the microbial technology side of our company. So we decided that, you know, the two together is actually more powerful than separate businesses and ideas. And it actually addressed a huge problem in bioplastics in that, you know, a lot of folks will put out a product to market and, you know, greenwash it to an extent and say that it is biodegradable when in fact it is not. It actually continues to break down into microplastics and persist in the environment. And so we wanted to create a product that was superior, of course, but also wanted to focus on the end of life, because a lot of biomaterials currently aren't accepted in compost facilities. Mm. Even in Metro Vancouver, where I'm based, the city of Vancouver doesn't like having biomaterials, the bioplastics in the compost, because it actually causes the machinery to gum up, as well as doesn't fully break down, because there's no clear distinction between the good and the bad kind of bioplastics.
Wow. So, that's really interesting. Just thinking about putting it into context with the city of Vancouver and the real challenges that they face. That's fascinating. Can you tell us more? We were just talking about, we mentioned the Globe and Mail article. Congratulations. It's a terrific piece. We'll include a link in the description so folks can read it. But it was interesting because it talked a bit about this movement towards creating more bioplastics broadly. And we're seeing pockets of innovation pop up. We were just mentioning Sway, and there's some other companies doing interesting work. Can you share a little bit about how FICO fits into this really cool community and this growing niche? Maybe about whether it's what makes your product distinct or your process. You mentioned the partnerships that you have. So just tell us more about how we can think about FICO specifically in that context.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how we kind of differentiate ourselves from our competitors is that microbial technology that I mentioned earlier. We really want to make sure that the product breaks down and that waste processing facilities find ways to actually break biomaterials down. So that's one way that we differentiate ourselves. And I think we're also using green chemistry and microbial technology to process seaweed into our biomaterials. So we're really focused on being the most sustainable and environmentally friendly that we can be by minimizing, you know, the chemical waste that's produced from processing seaweed. It can be quite chemically intensive. So we're focused on greening that process, which we have demonstrated we're going to be demonstrating through pilot scale, of course. So that's one way that we differentiate ourselves. And you mentioned the partnerships. I mean, we're in Canada. We're on unceded or stolen territories or treated lands. So I think it is an absolute no-brainer that we work with Indigenous communities because they have the knowledge and expertise of their coastlines. They have the human power and labor force. And, you know, I think a lot of Indigenous communities want economic resiliency. And I saw, you know, business as a mechanism to actually help create that in a way that is equitable. So that's why our focus is working with Indigenous communities. But we're happy to work with all coastal communities, but in Canada in particular, in certain countries where there are a lot of Indigenous communities, we want to partner with them because we can see the large benefits of working together and co-creating a solution that ultimately will impact those communities first, because they're the first ones to get impacted by climate change. So I think seeing the bigger picture is extremely important to us as a team. And that's what we wanted to implement for our vision as a company.
Yeah, that's terrific. And a really inspiring part of your business that feels like it's very core to FICO's identity, which I think is a really important differentiator in and of itself. Can you share a little bit about where your geographic focus points are? I know you're here in BC and beyond that in some other places. So just thinking especially about those coastal communities, what types of communities are you working with?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we've got some partners that we're working with. We have worked on projects in the past as well with the Tsleil-Waututh Nation, for example, here in Vancouver. We're talking to some folks on the Central Coast as well. And we've got a fairly large footprint in Nova Scotia where, you know, two of our team are actually based in Eastern Canada, because we want to operate coast to coast. We want to replicate this model throughout Canada and show that it can be done. And so we actually work in Nova Scotia a fair bit and then also in PEI as well. So that being said, this is where we're starting. I'd love to take it even global. I think the model could be replicated in other coastal communities around the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really impressive. How, when you're going into new coastal communities and talking to folks about what you're doing, have you noticed a change, like a difference in the baseline level of knowledge that folks have about the potential of seaweed?
Absolutely. I think, you know, seaweed has gone through quite a big hype cycle, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. I think it's a double-edged sword, because you want to be factual about what you can actually achieve with seaweed. And I think there were a lot of claims maybe a couple of years ago about what seaweed could do. And it was heralded as this big silver bullet that could solve climate change and plastic pollution and carbon sequestration, all these things. And I think seaweed is a beautiful tool. We can use it intelligently and we can use it as a tool to solve some of these aspects. Is it the thing that's going to solve all of it? No. I think this is what you mentioned in the previous question about biomaterials and bioplastics as a whole. It's a great space to be in because we need every single solution we can get. We need people working on mushroom plastics, hemp plastics, you know, seaweed bioplastics, all of that, because it's going to take all of us collectively to find a solution to petroleum-based plastic. So that's the big thing. So I think the space in which we work is really collaborative and people are generally quite welcoming. And then when it comes to seaweed itself, compared to a couple of years ago to now, I think people realizing the potential it has for the scale of impact at a community level and, you know, it being additional revenue sources for certain communities that are really heavily reliant on fisheries, I think that's where there's a bit more openness and people are either already aware and wanting to implement it and they're looking for partnerships, or you're going in there and saying, well, this is an opportunity. Is this something that you're interested in? It's always led by the community. We never go in and lead. We go to the community. We ask what they want. That's the first step.
Right. Super interesting. The magic, the silver bullet of seaweed. Yeah. Certainly, yeah, gone through. What did you say? A hype cycle. I understand that. Maybe, as you know, Coast is here in Pacific Canada. I'd love to ask you to share with our listeners a little bit about your experience of building this in BC and what it's like to be here and to build a company here and to build a seaweed company here. I think for some people it's, you know, perhaps familiar, just these concepts, and for others it may be totally new. And mm-hmm. If you're just listening, I'm looking at Rana with a backdrop of kelp behind her in the call. So it's beautiful. It's striking. So can you tell us a bit more about being in BC and what that means for your business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think BC has huge potential. And I would encourage anyone who's interested in seaweed farming to get into it because we've got a big coastline. And I think we can again, be intelligent about how we design our coastline as well and creating hubs for seaweed. I think BC's got a lot of potential. I think we have a really good, at least in Vancouver, I would say bioinnovation is a hotspot right now. You've got major, major companies that are coming out that have largely focused in med tech, but we're seeing it go outside of that as well. There's a lot of startups here that are women led that are very environmentally focused. So I think if that's the interest that folks have, it's the right place to be. And it's not even just in Vancouver. I think Victoria's doing really well as an innovation hub. And I think certain places like, I want to say Port Alberni is also growing and just a lot of the port cities, there's opportunities in those ports. And I think we're, you know, as a country, we're known for being a major exporter as well. So we don't have to just think local, we can think global as well. And we're good at doing it.
Love it. Yeah, I feel like FICO's got the intersection of local and global in your sites, which is very unique. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very cool about what you're working on. If there are other companies that are not in the blue tech space that are pretty inspiring to you, or other, sectors that you tend to draw some inspiration from, because again, I think it's this, the intersectionality of the chemistry aspect and the bioplastic innovation itself, combined with, of course, the collaborative element, that's pretty, pretty cool. But does anyone jump to mind?
A really amazing company that does truly cool and I think revolutionary work would be Light One. That's Sarah Graham and Roya Ahuri's company. They focus on creating natural dyes for the textile industry, which is a huge, huge polluter. And the dyes themselves, I would say, are conventional dyes that are created for clothing and textiles, for example. They are often very chemically intensive and have negative effects on the environment when they're being used. So what they are developing is, I think, truly going to be a game changer in textiles. So that's a really exciting company. Another ocean tech company comes to mind. I think it's worth plugging them too. I think Paige Whitehead's company, which I'm thinking of the old name.
Lux Bio.
Lux Bio does really amazing work too. Let me see, is there anybody else who comes to mind who's doing...
We can come back to this question.
Yeah, come back to it. I have a whole list. I literally wrote an email about all these companies, so I have to find it and then I can run through it.
I bet. Ask it because, as you say, this is such it's such an innovation-rich province to be in. And there's so many diverse sectors that are really at the cutting edge in their respective fields. And I know that it proves inspirational, even within the ocean sector, to look externally and see all these cool, cool innovations. But those are great shout outs. And I know there's lots of crossover there. Very cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So another question that I have is about your experience going through I would say, Canada's innovation pipeline. Yes, heralded as a great alumna of some of these programs.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about your experience really taking advantage of these great opportunities like the Ocean Startup Project?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Canada is such a great place for setting up the stage for ideas to become innovations. Like, it's truly, we're really lucky in Canada that we get to do this. And that starts from working with nonprofits like OceanWise, for example, or even the YMCA, which was one of our early, like one of the earliest programs I did
oh,
was
wow.
through the Youth Me Business Program through the YMCA. And that was just when I was thinking about what could I do with seaweed?
Cool.
And that led me to the other programs through OceanWise, for example, through the Ocean Startup Project, as you mentioned, through the Lab to Market pipeline stream that they have that's not based in the East Coast, but applies through Canada. My co-founder and I, for example, have also been through the Simon Fraser University Innovation or Idea to Innovation program as well. So I think there are a lot of really foundational programs that one could do. And I highly encourage anyone who has an idea to go through them, because they get you from just an idea to customer discovery, to validation, and then growing your company further. So, you know, if you're eligible for any of those programs, I highly recommend you pursue them if you're someone interested in actually pursuing innovation and entrepreneurship.
Love it. Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about some of the challenges you either have recently surmounted or some that you have facing you, knowing that a good portion of this audience is comprised of entrepreneurs who probably would really identify with hearing about what some of those sticky points are?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, entrepreneurship is a really beautiful thing, because you get really high highs and sometimes you hit low lows, and it's just a roller coaster. It's peaks and valleys. So I think challenges that we face as a startup, I think for any startup, this goes regardless of what stream you're in, what space you're in, is honestly funding. And I think in Canada, again, we're lucky because some of these programs that I mentioned do provide funding, like Ocean Startup Project. My gosh, they've been such lovely supporters to us, not only in terms of funding, but also in support. So huge shout out to that team, because they truly are remarkable people that are helping innovation grow in Canada. So I think funding is always an issue, but there's a lot of non-dilutive funding available. That just usually takes a lot of time, requires a lot of grant writing, skills, and so on and so forth. But funding is always an issue for a startup, at least for the first 5 years, only 5 years, hopefully. If you're doing deep tech, normally that's the standard.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think other challenges is just the space in which you can do things. So I think with tech, you can either kind of go through spin-ups through universities, which is not the route that we did. We were external to the universities that we worked out of. So, you know, finding the actual lab space to do work can be really challenging, especially if you're in deep tech. So a lot of the time entrepreneurs will work through the universities, and then you have to go through a tech licensing office and so on. So that can be challenging for some folks. And then for us, that wasn't an issue for us, because we ended up finding some very, very small, cheap space to work out of, which we were very lucky with through Maker Labs in Vancouver. So, you know, space is an issue. I think equipment is always an issue. And that's where finding the right equipment you need, that it's challenging, because a lot of the grants, for example, that exist in Canada, they don't cover equipment, unfortunately. So either you have to find someone who's willing to let you try something on the very expensive equipment, or you're going to a nonprofit kind of research center to get that work done. So I would say space, equipment, funding are always the biggest challenges. That being said, it's also an internal challenge, you know, being a female entrepreneur. Sometimes I still to this day get hit with imposter syndrome. And I think there's a lot to say about founder resiliency and making sure that you're able to handle every single challenge that comes up, because there's going to be a multitude of challenges that either come up all at once or, you know, consistently through a period of time. And it's about having, you know, faith in yourself and faith in your team. And hopefully that's enough to get you through
I think that will prove very relatable to many folks listening in. I certainly understand. Yeah. You mentioned your team and growing the team, which I think has an easing effect on some of those other challenges. And I know that you've recently grown by one person, I believe.
Yeah. Yes, we have. We have. We're hoping to grow actually one more person as well in the coming months. So
okay, great.
Yeah.
I'm curious about what it's felt like just to grow the team. I mean, this is your concept and you had, you were joined by your co-founder, of course, but this is a really amazing milestone to celebrate. So maybe it doesn't feel different at all, but I'd love to know what it feels like, and maybe you can tell us what this new position is, because I think it's quite
absolutely
interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So for us, I think any person that we add onto the team, for the first thing is sharing the vision. You have to have the values and the vision of what we're trying to do. So when we onboarded our newest person, he's going to be our kind of business development and aquaculture operations management gentleman. And so he's going to be helping with our partnerships as well with some of those Indigenous nations should they need support with the aquaculture. And, you know, I think it's a milestone for us. I think it's just great to have somebody on the team who's able to support an expertise that, you know, practical hands-on expertise that we may not necessarily have. The gentleman that we hired he's an expert in aquaculture. So that's a skill set that, you know, I have to an extent, but to have it at a commercial scale is definitely key and important, and has experience working in innovation as well. So very familiar with the startup space, what it's like to build out a startup or work for startups. So we're really happy to have him on board with us. I think the next key hire that we're going to have is probably going to be based out in Nova Scotia, at a research center that we're currently working at. So if there's any polymer chemists out there that are interested in working with us, we're going to be looking.
Listen up, polymer chemists, new opportunities on the horizon.
I think the most important thing is values. And then startups are a fun little game of, you know, intense periods of work and then periods of calm, and having a team that can manage that and work really well together is fundamental. And so we're really, really lucky and grateful to have this new individual on our team.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I have two more questions for you. The first,
I
rattled off at the top some of the accolades that FICO has recently received, including in Fort Lauderdale and then Toronto. I think I met you in person for the first time in July in Montreal.
At
Startup Fest. Great. Shout out to Ocean Fest. And you were coming from another round of events at that time, if I remember correctly. So this has been a huge year for you and for FICO with lots of travel. I would love to hear, for those of us who haven't been as globetrotting this year as you have, what are you seeing when you're in kind of pitch lineups with other folks, other companies that are in the ocean space or outside? Are you seeing any interesting kind of trends or developments that kind of pique your curiosity as you're out there?
Yeah, I think biomaterials are hot. Everybody's very interested in them right now. And I think that's a good thing. As I mentioned, we need every solution we can get. I think climate tech as a whole is paramount right now. Obviously, we're facing a climate crisis. We are facing some very uncertain times ahead of us as well, geopolitically. So I think finding where folks are, I think, getting very excited is where we're able to build collaborations across the world. And I think that's where we're going to see some really interesting projects and ideas take root. I think that's very much where there's a lot of focus for climate tech, for biomaterials. I'm trying to think what else would be important. I mean, AI itself is obviously still very important. And I think the really interesting thing about AI is that folks are realizing that it's an incredible tool to be used. And I think they're becoming more careful about how it's being used as well. So there's folks talking about ethical AI and how we can use it in a way that, you know, doesn't cause harm, because it is something that is very new and doesn't have a lot of protections against it at this point. So that's also been a huge topic of discussion. And even for a company like ours, we've used AI as well in partnership with Coastal Carbon AI, which is another Canadian company that's doing amazing things with satellite imagery and carbon sequestration seaweed. So that's, for example, a partnership that we've developed, and you know, they work around the world as well. So I'm excited to see how AI can be used to help solve some of our very dire concerns of what the future would look like.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the play-by-play from all those great events. It's nice to hear what the key takeaways have been to a certain extent. So as we wrap up, are there some next steps, some exciting things on the horizon for FICO that you'd like to share with our audience? And I'd also love if you just gave yourself a plug for how we can follow along and support you as you're going.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot on the horizon. I'm headed to Portugal for Blue BioValue Accelerator, final part of the program there. So we're interested in Europe as a market for sure. I think it makes sense because they are very focused on plastic reduction and finding solutions that work. So that's something on the horizon. I would say we're going to be probably expanding our team, which I'm very excited about. And then building more partnerships with the communities that we're already working with and getting some projects off the ground. So I think the best way to keep tabs on us is our LinkedIn page. We share our updates there for the general public. And hopefully there'll be some more media out there in the future as well. Maybe in another article, fingers crossed.
Absolutely. It's just the start. Rana, I want to thank you for joining us today on Coast Talks, and thank you to our listeners. If you'd like to learn more about Rana and FICO, follow them on LinkedIn, and visit us at canadacoast.ca for more information about Coast.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you to Coast for basically building ocean tech innovation, building the ecosystem that we need on this coast.